The two-year budget and debt deal President Obama signed may bring some certainty to the government business and contracting space, especially if Congress passes an omnibus spending bill for the rest of the fiscal year, but shutdowns and continuing resolutions and other budget problems, political campaigning, have left a lot of clutter on the contracting landscape. Mike Fischetti's a fellow and executive director of the National Contract Management Association and writing about clearing away that clutter. Mike, some of it is stuff that other people leave, and so it's not under the control of people in the contracting and business space to clear out. But you're suggesting it's possible to maybe ignore it and get past some of it. What's the import of doing that? Thanks for coming on today, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Francis. Well, it's the new norms, right? So it's something to be expected. It happens every year now. It's just a matter of when, but certainly we never have a budget on October 1st. That's not been the case for years, and don't see any reason for that to change. So you need to be ready for those impacts and being ready to expect the unusual. The budgets continue to decline from contracting. The shakeout isn't done. We haven't bottomed out yet. And for a lot of reasons, it's just a much more uncertain world. But, you know, with uncertainty, I guess, can be some certainty.
You point out the fact that the bottom out hasn't happened yet in this new piece you have in the Federal Times. We have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. But you write, opportunities for small veteran and minority women-owned businesses with ideas, vision, and perseverance and large firms willing to rethink their business models will increase. What do you think that rethinking of business models will look like for some of the bigger companies that play in this space, Mike?
I think it might mean partnering with small companies, looking for that entrepreneurial skill, for those extra set-aside advantages that the small firms, the disabled firms offer. And again, looking for new ideas and lower overhead, quite frankly. The government's trying to save money.
The low overhead part of it, I guess, makes some people shake, but because that means usually cutting jobs or cutting space or both. The fact, though, that you continue to point out throughout this piece on a number of occasions, entrepreneurialism could be potentially helpful, and we could see a lot of it grow in the next several years. That might give people pause for optimism, I would think.
Yes, sir. You know, we've certainly seen the Defense Department, for one, trying to make overtures towards Silicon Valley organizations, companies that aren't the traditional government space. You know, the jury is still out on LPTA as far as whether that's hurting or hindering anything, you know, as long as you define your acceptability standards properly. So no one's saying they want to reduce the quality, but certainly they want to reduce the cost, and they want to look for ways to more efficiently spend the funds they have, particularly in IT.
Do you worry that the continued emphasis on we want to grow the base and we want to bring in companies that aren't selling to the government right now might carry an implicit message to companies that are selling to the government now that you're not doing a really great job and we're not huge fans of you?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if they're not too huge fans, but there's certainly, it's in the best interest of everyone to widen the base, to widen the field and diverse of experience and knowledge that we maybe haven't traditionally seen. So, you know, the government's facing the same challenges all companies, all of us are seeing in society, that, you know, the disruptive technologies, that you know, where a huge business can be brought down quickly by someone with a new app or service or a possibility of a new way of providing products and services, and the government wants to take advantage of that, as is everyone else. And so, you know, they do have the rules and regulations and other restrictions that private sector doesn't have. But I maintain that those rules and regulations are not necessarily the hindrance that they're sometimes made out to be. So, traditional firms that want to work in a traditional way should be concerned. And I think most firms are trying to figure out how they can better adapt to new changes in society and the nation, as well as and how the government wants to take advantage of those changes.
Mike Fischetti of the National Contract Management Association, writing in the Federal Times about overcoming the clutter. And you write, the skill sets of the past, while still necessary, must be augmented by several others for the future. And you cite communication skills, interpersonal skills, project management, contract management, financial technology, vision, business, and leadership skills. And the leadership, I think, is the umbrella for all of those that you're writing about, Mike. And what I took away from that piece is that whether you're on the contracting side in government or the business side, those are all executive skills, is what they have in common. Those are skills that are common in people who are successful at running an enterprise. And it seems to me that what you're suggesting is those skills will be useful not only to people who are running an enterprise, but who are part of an enterprise and have to understand how the person who's running it is doing so. Am I on the right track there, Mike?
Absolutely. I believe any company is trying to do more with less. I think all of us are being asked, and no matter where we work or in our fields of endeavor, are asked to do more. And having more skill sets. So if I'm the contracting person, you know, it's the old throw it over to the wall to the program manager, that's their role, or the QA specialist, or the systems engineer, the IT manager. Those rules, not that those, no one's being asked to be an expert in all areas, but I think we all need to be able to be a little bit gray in the other areas and being able to operate in multidisciplinary environments. So we all need to be following, you know, what's happening and have some strategic planning skills to understand where the whole enterprise is headed. And so if I'm the contract manager, for example, I certainly need to have those project skills. I need to have that business development skill, those interpersonal skills to work in a team collaborative environment where there may be fewer folks around and you just need to be able to step up and not necessarily be the CPA and the contracting certified expert, but being able to know enough to work across those aisles and move forward the whole program. So I just think that's just the nature of the beast today.
Mike, a lot of people are worried about the brain drain and the fact that people with a lot of experience are either leaving or have the potential to leave the government in the next several years. You point that out in this piece, but you have a silver lining that I think is really interesting. You write that it offers an opportunity for hardworking, innovative, critical thinkers to move up. That might be a breath of fresh air that I think not a lot of people are focused on right now.
Exactly right, and certainly in contracting, sometimes that isn't the experience or the reputation of folks in government acquisition, particularly. But yeah, many of my colleagues and friends, many have retired and moved to the Carolinas or where have you, and enjoying their retirement. The opportunities that might have been there for folks that left one company or agency and moved on may not be there as well anymore. But I do believe there's huge opportunities for people with the right skill sets. If you have the right skill sets, I think you can move forward, and particularly if you have those entrepreneurial as well as operational execution tasks, abilities and skills, I think you can really move forward and thrive in this new environment. You know, every problem is an opportunity, and I think there are lots of opportunities because I do believe at the highest levels in government and companies, they're looking for those new skill sets, looking for ways to thrive in this new environment. So they don't become the next company that's caught by surprise by some new technology, an upstart or an online firm that is able to do what they used to do.
You do write in this piece about the politics that are involved here. We don't expect those to go away ever. Without asking you to jump into all of the shenanigans that have gone on in Capitol Hill in the last, especially couple of weeks, but last couple of months and years, do you have any sense that as regards the federal business community, both the industry side and the agency side, that there is any kind of settling down at least on the horizon?
I believe so. I think everybody's ready to do that. I'm certainly, I think a lot of folks didn't expect the budget deal to happen as quickly as it did. Many were saying it was going to go all the way down to the wire again, and here we do have one. So I think that's certainly a positive sign that ultimately, everyone has their own position and wants to push against that position, but, the strategies of shutdown or brinkmanship may not be working. And I think everybody, in terms of acquisition, I think everybody's looking for that solution. And I'm, we have Mac Thornberry at our upcoming event, and their approach through the NDAA Reform Act that's making its way through conference committees is that, we're taking an iterative solution approach. There is no one size fits all. I think you had John Atherton on your program recently, that's the idea. There is no grand solution. This is an iterative process. It's a cultural process, and it's going to take time. And I think we're going about it the right way, and everyone's on board with that.
Mike, it's a great piece. I appreciate you coming on to talk about it. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Francis.